You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Friday, October 8th, 2021. Follow us on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP. Smash the button so you get the podcast once it drops. We will talk to Thor Nystrom, NBC Sports Edge, one of the greatest college football minds in the medium. We talk all things about this weekend's games. Thor has his own rating system, and he shares his favorite weekend bets with us. And the two of us, we're prone to make a side bet from time to time. So I'm sure something will come up over the course of 22 minutes and 41 seconds with Thor Nystrom from NBC Sports coming up later on in the show. Don't ever think that people won't fire on an awful football game. I was cracking up. Chris Andrews, friend of the show, South Point Sportsbook Director in Las Vegas. He does a story on VSiN every week. They preview the betting action for the biggest games, mostly in college football. And I'm reading the list. It's Oklahoma and Texas, Maryland, Ohio State, Utah, USC, Boise State, BYU, Georgia, Auburn, LSU, Kentucky. The list goes on. Michigan, Nebraska, Alabama, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Penn State, Iowa, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. But guess which game is getting more action than most? It is on at 3:30 p.m. Eastern at NESN. UConn, UMass. Chris writes, quote, "I can hear you laughing. This obviously isn't a marquee matchup, but you wouldn't believe how much money I've written on this game. It's unbelievable. Bet after bet. I opened UConn -3.5. Bettors took the dog. Dropped it to 3. Customers laid back 3. Now we're laying 3.5. Did take a big money line play on UMass at +145. With all the great matchups out there, this one is piling up tickets. Just goes to show you, if people think they have a winner, they're going to bet it. If you're confident about a team side in an ugly game, don't be afraid to step in." So UConn and UMass bringing in the dollars out in Las Vegas. Good luck with that one. Brad Powers added this with a tweet at BradPowers7. UConn just 1-20 against the number in its last 21 games as a favorite. 1-20. Oh. They have failed to cover the spread over that span by an average of 11.3 points per game. However, UConn's only cover the last time they played UMass in 2019. UConn -9.5. They win 56-35. You got all that? Are you ready to bet UMass and UConn? Huskies on the road -3 at the Minutemen. Total 57. I won't bet it. I just thought that was amazing that that game is bringing out the dollars. You never know. I won't be on that one, but I am on these five. Here we go. Rapid fire. Iowa money line. We've talked about this. I think they're underrated, undervalued at home. Don't tell me a great defense can't keep it up. That is bullshit. That is lazy. If anything, offense takes a step back. Offense takes a weekend off. Defense is about willpower and strength and effort and schematics and wherewithal. Those things usually don't take a day off. And I love this Iowa defense. Opportunistic because they create the opportunities. They stop the run. They pressure the quarterback. They make life hell on opposing quarterbacks. And don't tell me Sean Clifford is some hero who's going to go out and carve up Iowa. This game is going to be a physical war. Old school Big Ten football. And if that's the case, I want the home team with the rowdy crowd that makes things difficult, makes it loud for the opposing offense to hear these plays funneled in. Iowa at home should be -3, -3.5. But because there's some support for Penn State, This number's been knocked down to 1.5. It makes the money line cheaper. So from my vantage point, if I think the money line should be minus 160 or so, and you give me minus 125, minus 130, that's a wrap. That's it. If it's 21-20, 17-16, 24-23 Iowa, we ain't losing with the point spread. Win the game, move on. I like Iowa a lot in this spot. Wisconsin got good news yesterday, tweeted out minus 10. Happy to do that. Market's at 11. Jake Ferguson was the guy we needed to confirm he was going to play, the big tight end. He's in. It sounds like Graham Mertz is in, although I don't really care who the quarterback is. I think Wisconsin's offense will be fine because Illinois stinks. Illinois defensively can't stop a nosebleed. And on offense, how are they going to score against Wisconsin? I don't want to hear about Wisconsin, down year for Wisconsin. Well, yes, but, I mean, come on. They've lost to three good teams. You could say two of those teams are borderline very good. Notre Dame's okay, but I still think they're in that good echelon. Losses to Penn State and Michigan, quality losses, very quality losses. Wisconsin's good enough to beat up on bad teams. I don't know that Wisconsin wins 6-7 games. I'd say they get to 7 probably, but that none of that matters. This is an isolated situation. Going into Champaign where nobody gives a fuck about football. Nobody cares. Nobody even goes. I went there. Nobody goes. People get drunk. They don't even go into the game. There's no home field in Champaign. Just stop it with the Illinois getting a lot of points. Like, this is what Illinois does. They lose the good teams. And a lot of these games aren't close. I think it's going to be 31-13. 31-17, maybe. And that's being nice. You can get right in Champaign. Many teams have done this over the years. Last college pick, Ohio State, minus 21. I thought about this. I had a couple people I really respect tell me, hey, lay the points. Lay the points. I'm like, ah, I don't know. I don't want to lay 21 with Ohio State. You know, Maryland, bounce back spot. They got embarrassed. And people are like, Sammy, Ohio State is in middle finger mode the rest of the season. I said, well, that's actually not a bad point. When you think about what they have to do going forward, they need to get back in the good graces of the committee. They have to win with style points. And by style points, they have to put up points. And they have to blow out teams. Because when Ohio State has one loss heading into the Big Ten Championship, you know what's going to happen. They're going to be 11-1. They're going to play in the Big Ten Championship. They'll probably be favored by 7 points and probably win that game and probably get into the playoff. But Ryan Day has his team's attention. And defensively, they are starting to figure things out. It was a very young and very inexperienced defense before the season started. Those linebackers never played together. Well, it's been a month. Guys are starting to gel, play well, understand each other. They know where each other are going to be on the field now. That wasn't the case early in the season. They couldn't stop the edge against Oregon. Ohio State's defense is going to get better over the course of the season. A lot like Alabama's defense always gets better over the course of a season. But this is a spot where Ohio State at home is probably going to get to 49 points. Call it 50 if you want. They're going to get there. In fact, they've never scored less than 49 against Maryland because Maryland can't stop anybody. And this is a situation where Ohio State gets up 28-35. They don't have the luxury to sit this out and put a bunch of starters on the bench. They got to roll teams now. They got to roll teams going forward. So that opening loss or that opening season loss, it wasn't the opening week. It was, I think, the second week of the season. That might not be bad for Ohio State's cover purposes going forward. We know they could annihilate Maryland. Maryland stinks. How many sharp guys took Maryland last Friday? 4, 3.5. Got a good number. The game wasn't even close. Now, Iowa's much better defensively than Maryland, but Ohio State is worlds better than Iowa on offense. You know that. So it's a different type of game for Maryland. They might get their yards. They might get their big plays. But I don't know that they're going to get the 30 points in this game. And if Ohio State's going to get 50, you do the math. In the pros, like the Niners, been over this. We took 5.5. Somebody's like, wait to 6. I'm like, it's not going to 6. It's coming down. It's going to come back. Seeing a lot of 5s and some 4.5s. I just think Arizona's being priced like a great team here. And I think they're a really good team. But you can't tell me that this spread should be 5.5, 6. There's no way. Division game, these are always wars, always tough, always down to the wire, back and forth. Look at Thursday night's game, Seattle, Los Angeles. Either team could have won that game. Now, it's harder for Seattle when Wilson goes out. But I think San Francisco here is in a good spot. Undervalued right where you want them. You're laying 5, 5.5 with Arizona, you're paying a premium. Look ahead number 2.5. It's hard to go 5-0 in the NFL out of the chute. So I took the points. And I'm on the under. Houston, New England, 39.5. Davis Mills against Bill Belichick. That makes me excited for no points. And with the Patriots offense, it's already been a situation where this team has been a dead under team. 4-0 to the under. 4 games, 4 unders. At practice this week, Patriots are down 4 offensive linemen. 2 or 3 of them are not going to play Sunday. So you've got a rookie quarterback with potentially 3 or 4 backup offensive linemen trying to churn butter. Rock fight. Rock fight. 17-13. 20-16. Something like that. I think 2016 is on the high side. Remember, the Patriots beat the Jets 25-6. This could be 20-10, 17-10. Every score I throw out, it's low. Did you catch Davis Mills' passing yardage prop, by the way? DraftKings opened at 199.5 down to 189.5. In a league where quarterbacks regularly go for 300, 350. 189.5. And Mac Jones inside the red zone, they still don't trust him. And he's not going to have all the time in the world to sit back there and pick off open receivers. This is going to be a struggle bus for offense. I wouldn't watch it if you're looking for offense. Watch another game. Bartender. Surprise, surprise. On a Friday. Ping. Got 3. Broncos again. He has taken the Broncos every single week. He's on the Broncos again. -1. Of course, I could have picked this one out of a hat. Packers -3. Aaron Rodgers on the road laying 3. That's a fucking gimme for the bartender. And he's going back to one of the plays that got him home last week. Chiefs over. He didn't even text me Bills. He texted me Chiefs over. So he's on the Bills, Chiefs over. I think the number is 56.5. Got to check the Twitter real quick. There were some 57s out there, but you go off what he sends in, and our guy's got 3. With a record of 5-3 this year, 11-23 last year in the NFL, Broncos -1, Packers -3, Bills Chiefs over 56.5. I love that you don't know when the picks are coming. Sometimes it's Saturday night, sometimes it's Saturday in the afternoon. This past weekend, he was 1-2, so now he's studying. You get him on Friday now. I'm like, oh, wow. I already sent the tweet out. I wasn't even preparing to talk about his picks on this show, but when you see that text, you drop everything. Sorry, Ma. Bartender just texted. Gotta go. Psst. I mean, that's how it works. I remember one time, wasn't it last year in March? I was rolling through Costco picking up some stuff, and I got a text that he was on Butler against Creighton in college basketball. And this guy never plays college basketball. I remember sprinting to the liquor aisle at Costco and holding up, I think, a bottle of Captain Morgan to take a picture to send out the tweet. Girlfriend's like, what are you doing? I'm like, babe, bartender, sorry. Sorry. Give me 5 minutes. So when he's ready to go, it's showtime. So those are the 3 for the bartender. Tip sheet, picking up momentum. Houston -6 last night, never in doubt. Never. That game was all kinds of drunk, and I should have gotten drunk for having to watch the whole thing. But we did talk about how bad the Tulane defense was. They were moving guys around, people playing in different positions, out of position, how nervous some of those Green Wave faithful were about stopping Houston. I had people tell me, we won't stop them. Now, I got sweaty for a little bit, but the Cougars wore them down, and they won that game 40-22. Final score, I'll be honest, a little misleading, but Houston was clearly the better team. And with 9 minutes to go, they're leading 33-22. They got 435 total yards of offense to push Tulane to 1-4. That team is a mess this year. Those Thursday night games are always weird, though. Houston goes up 14-0, and you're thinking, wow, I'm getting phones blown up. Let's go. Don't stop. And then Tulane scores, and then on 3rd and 13, Tulane runs a halfback draw. Everybody crashed on Houston. They were blitzing, and they handed the ball off, and the guy ran 37 yards for a touchdown. It's like, okay. And then from there, it's sort of back and forth, but Houston shut them down in the last half of the third quarter and all of the fourth quarter. And that's what you expected. But Houston got stronger on offense because Tulane, as we talked about in the tip sheet, is running out of gas. These guys at the end of games, they have no legs because they're always on the field. Tell your friends, Google Fox Sports tip sheet. Three tips so far. Gronk out. Bing. Hooker starting at Tennessee. Bing. Tulane's Swiss cheese defense. Bing. Long live the tip sheet. Only the goods. Only the goods, I've been told. I've never heard about a cancellation for a fire alarm, but we had this the other night. Did you catch this in the NBA? Vegas Rick had two preseason bets in one game. He had the Grizzlies -1.5 and the under 224.5. After three quarters, Grizzlies led 87-77. So he's covering, and that's 164 points with a total of 224. And in the preseason, let's just say all the best scorers are not on the floor. So this is likely an under. A fire alarm goes off in the arena. They clear the entire joint out and cancel the game. No bets. What? I've never heard of that before. Now, it's the preseason, so the game doesn't matter, and you don't have to bring everybody back out and redo the game. Like, if this is a regular season game, I'm almost positive you re-rack it the following day and pick it up at the time of the pause, I would think. I don't know that for sure. I've never heard of a fire alarm canceling a game, though. Imagine if you had, and it's not like Ricky's betting $200 or something. Like, he's got bombs on these games because he bets big in markets like this. Summer league, preseason, FCS football. He's getting money down. Both bets, likely winners canceled because of a fire alarm. All right. I saw this tweet. Adam Chernoff. You know I respect the hell out of him. Works for Covers now. Very sharp. Makes his own numbers and his own power rankings. So this is a lesson in how some of the best in the business do it. He's got a number on every team, and he'll up and downgrade these teams. Even though they're not a playoff team, if the season ended today, Chernoff's top team in the power rankings, Kansas City Chiefs, 86. Well, his co-top team. Chiefs and Bills both at 86. Bucks at 84. Rams 83. So on a neutral, Chiefs Rams is KC -3. You just subtract the lowest from the highest. So Chiefs 86, Bills 86, Bucks 84, Rams 83, Browns 80, Cowboys 78. Big risers there, the Dallas Cowboys. Packers 75, Ravens 75, Cardinals 70. That's sort of where I'm at. And I don't make my own NFL power ratings like that. But he's got a 16-point difference between Kansas City and Arizona on a neutral. Chargers 68. A lot of love for the Chargers this weekend, too. And I talked to John Murray for Nesson. He said the Browns are a very sharp bet behind that counter. Browns getting a 1.5 or 2 points in Los Angeles where there is no home field and hasn't been for decades. Browns 80, Chargers 68. How about that? It's interesting. Now, it doesn't mean that Adams' ratings are right, but he's been killing it in the NFL this year. I think he's over 70% with his NFL bets, and he makes all of his own numbers. And these will fluctuate. Obviously, some teams will go up, some teams will go down, but he has really upgraded the Bills. So Chiefs and Bills at 86 on the top of Chernoff's rankings. And you could follow him. Great follow on Twitter. Really likes to help the better out. Last thing before we get to Thor Nystrom. Tree Bark Falafel, 3-1 this year. He was on the Ravens last week over Denver. Let's hear who that maniac likes in week number 5.
We did it again. We're 3-1 now. A huge victory last week. And let's keep the train rolling. This week, we are taking the Tennessee Titans -4.5 against the ass grinding on his junk Urban Meyer's Jacksonville Jaguars. Everyone thinks Jaguars will rally behind men with hard junk, but they're wrong. The Titans will easily cover. Take Tennessee Titans -4.5 against Jacksonville Jaguars. Thank you.
How about that for a handicap? Just fading Urban Meyer. I've heard worse. Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, I love talking college football with Thor Nystrom, who's the senior content creator of college football and the NFL draft at NBC Sports Edge. We used to work together. We have made some wagers together, and I have a feeling, Thor, we're going to have a helmet bet at the end of this, right?
I sure hope so. We better.
You've been waiting for that for like a year, because we had Michigan, Minnesota, and that was the game. I'll never forget this. I don't think there was anything wrong with your handicap. You just didn't know that Minnesota was going to be down fucking 20 starters in the game.
Yeah, that was tough. The defense was much worse than I thought it was. And then Joe Milton put on the fucking Superman cape for one game. Joe Milton, he hadn't been that since. But for one game, we thought he was like Cardale Jones plus.
You had texted me about 10 minutes before kickoff and went, oh, no. Last year was a bear, man. There were so many situations in college football where it would be 30, 20, 10 minutes before kick, and you'd be watching, say it's an ESPN game, you'd be watching the pregame show, and they would show on the bottom of the screen, oh, yeah, Minnesota's down 20 guys. And if you had a bet on the game, you'd watch that line just float.
Last year was the craziest handicapping year of all time. Probably in every sport, but particularly the college ones, because you know you would just get pulled out much easier. You know, and it wasn't just that. It was like, you know, games could be canceled and postponed and all this stuff like at the last second. You know, so someone were even on the day of the game. Hopefully, we never have another season like that again, because that wasn't very fun.
For those that are new to your work, and there are many that have heard your stuff on the show before, but you do your own numbers. You have the adjusted Thor line, the ATL, and this is published on NBC, NBC Sports Edge. Your numbers are different than the odds maker numbers. I was talking to Kenny White, longtime Vegas odds maker, for a story on Fox the other day, and I said, Kenny, I want to make point spreads for Alabama against everybody else. He comes up with Alabama 134.5 and Georgia 130.5. Now, he admits he might be a little low on Georgia, but that's because of some uncertainty with JT Daniels. On a neutral, though, a guy that's been making these lines for 4 decades says Alabama, Georgia on a neutral, Crimson Tide -4. It seems a little high when I say that out loud.
To me, that is a little bit high. My numbers have Georgia -0.7, so basically -1. In reality, I don't think that Georgia would open as a favorite or maybe even get to the favorite by kick or whatever. But, maybe Alabama up to minus a field goal or a little bit lower is where I think that line should be.
So your numbers have Georgia better. And you're right. If you were running a sports book, Thor, you wouldn't hang Georgia pick'em or Georgia -1 because you'd get murdered on Alabama money.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it more Georgia's offense or more Georgia's defense? What has impressed you more this year?
Way more their defense. Their defense is dominant. You know, it's like, you have a trump card in any competition and you're going to have a puncher's chance or better. And what's the saying? Defense travels, you know, defense doesn't take a week off. They're going to have that every single week. And then when JT Daniels gets back, that's where it could get fun. You know, these couple of times when Stetson Bennett has played, it's, you know, all he's got to do is hand it off a few times, kiss some babies, wave at the crowd, you know, pump his fist a few times, and then admire the defense from the best seat on the house. He doesn't do anything, and they're still just dominating these really good teams. They're definitely a scary team because of that defense. And then, you know, as far as Alabama goes, like, you know, they've been obviously super impressive so far. The question becomes like some of those younger guys like Bryce Young, you know, in particular, when they face that type of dominant defense, or if, you know, if Iowa somehow gets into the playoff, because I think Iowa's defense is the only other one in the nation that's close to Georgia's, you know, how will he play or whatever. But it's nice to have a trump card like that, like Georgia's defense.
Let's go rapid fire here. I'll give you the Vegas number. You give me your number. Kenny White's got Alabama 134.5 and Ohio State 125. He's got Bama as a 9.5-point favorite. What about you?
My numbers have Alabama -5 against Ohio State on a neutral.
Alabama, Iowa. He's got a big number here, and I think this is where the lack of speed and skill on Iowa's offense plays into his numbers. Alabama 134.5, Iowa 118. That's 16.5. I imagine you're lower.
Yeah, that sounds a little steep to me. I'm Alabama -13 in that one.
Okay, so you're close. But as you know, though, if you opened Alabama 13 as a bookmaker, you're going to get written up to 14, 14 in the hook. You Agreed. Might even write it to 15. Your numbers, essentially, they give you a buy-on spot or a fire spot. So if you were to see the market open Alabama 17 or something, you'd be on Iowa. How heavy if you made it 13?
Well, if I got 17, I'm super heavy on Iowa. Yeah. I mean, if that's what it opened in that one, the lower number though, I totally agree with you that thing's going to get pushed by steam to 14.5 real quick. If they ended up opening the line lower than that. So I totally agree with that.
Vegas has Alabama, Cincinnati, Bama -12.
Same number I got. Exact same number.
Okay. And then the other interesting nugget from Vegas was that Clemson has already been downgraded 11 points. He had him at 134, and now he's got him at 123. I think there's something to be said about reality against perception, Thor, because going into the season, there's a lot of hype on DJ Uiagalelei. They've got speed, skill, good playmakers, a defense that's loaded with NFL talent. But we've seen enough, have we not, through 4 or 5 weeks where perception is not what it was on Clemson. Like, this team, they have to have plummeted in your ratings too, right? And that's not just the eye test. That's the numbers and the stats.
Clemson's way down. That's not a good team. They're just not a good team because the offense stinks. And the offense stinks because the offensive line stinks, right? Like, you know, we talked about, you know, Uiagalelei. We talked about, you know, Ross, and they had these young running backs coming in and stuff like that that people were excited about. But the fact that your offensive line stinks, the whole house of cards just comes down. And now Uiagalelei, he doesn't have any time to throw downfield. So Justin Ross and Ngata and guys like that, like long outside receivers, they don't even have the opportunity to make plays downfield because he ain't getting that time. And then even on the shorter, like timing routes and stuff like that, Uiagalelei is, I guess it'd be fair to say, skittish. And so he just hasn't gotten into a rhythm. Like, you might see it for a pass or two, but, you know, over a series or certainly over a quarter, just as a thrower, we just haven't seen it this year. Again, he seems very skittish behind that line. And then the other thing is, they can't run the ball like they have in the past. Last year, if you looked at the splits between Travis Etienne, where he ran to the side of Jackson Carmen, and he ran to the other side, Etienne had something like 2.5 more yards per carry running behind Jackson Carmen. Dabo Sweeney, he had struggled. Those guys had struggled to produce NFL offensive linemen. Jackson Carmen was an exception, but now he's gone. And you just see the wheels have sort of fallen off for that unit, and it just plays everybody down.
There's another team that reminds me a lot of Clemson when it comes to what the perception was in the preseason and where the reality is right now. And, of course, I'm talking about Oklahoma. they were favored by, you know, some guys said they should be favored by 2-3 touchdowns in every game to this point, and they have not impressed. When you look at the Red River game, and Oklahoma is only a 3-point favorite with a total of 63.5, is it time to buy Oklahoma, or can you just not go there?
I would for sure be on Oklahoma. Oklahoma was one of the games that it just hit the cutting room floor for me. You know, like I picked 10 games usually. This week I picked 11 in my column, but that was one that just finished right outside of it. I do think that there's value on Oklahoma. And, you know, you started to see Spencer Rattler playing better last week. He just had, like, they had a lot of new receivers there. Mike Woods, the Arkansas freshman from South Florida, they were playing immediately and stuff like that. Austin Stogner, the tight end, is a drop machine. And so, like, I think they're, you know, he's still figuring out who he can trust and stuff like that. And Rattler is, you know, last year, what he was historically good at, on par with Pat Mahomes from Texas Tech, was winning outside of structure and, you know, PFF grades, throwing outside of structure and stuff like that. Under pressure, he was very good as well. It was the things that we were looking for him to improve was throwing in rhythm, you know, within just sort of the easy stuff, I guess would be the, you know, the easier way to say that. And that's what he struggled with this year. I'm still hoping that when those receivers ingratiate, that we're going to see Rattler, you know, jump up like he did last year. If you recall, like after, you know, it was the Red River game last year where it sort of came to a head and he got benched and all this sort of stuff. But after that, after halftime, you know, he sort of had a come to Jesus moment. And he was awesome the rest of the season. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, this game sort of brings that out of him. But we did see last week him play a lot better against Kansas State, and he's completing a high percentage of his passes. So I'm still high on Oklahoma. I agree with you. They have to be downgraded, you know, based on where they were in the preseason, but I'm not going crazy with them in the same way that I am with Clemson, or even for that matter, Notre Dame. In my opinion, they should be downgraded a little bit more than some people have them.
Thor Nystrom with us on Chicken Dinner. He's made 52 picks this year against the number in college football, 28, 22, and 2. That's 56%, and that would make you a lot of money. Let's go there. Notre Dame and Va Tech. I know you're high on the Hokies and low on the Irish. Why?
Yeah, I am. A couple different reasons here. First off, Notre Dame, very similarly, like we were just talking about with Clemson, they have a stinky offensive line, and that has, you know, it has neutered the running game, and it has gotten their quarterbacks, you know, put them in really bad situations. Jack Cohn got an ankle injury because of it, a soft tissue one. That one was affecting them a little bit last week when they lost to Cincinnati. And by the way, a game against the Bearcats, that, you know, a kind of a stomach punch type game of a very physical type team like that. Because of that offensive line, Kyren Williams, he's not playing like he did, you know, last year, whatever, or like we've seen the Irish running game in traditional years, because usually Brian Kelly has a role where they were just sort of getting by with decent ones. Notre Dame always has awesome ones, but they don't this year. And so that's a big problem. The quarterback play is way down from last year. And so, you know, and then Jack Cohn, of course, is compromised. Like I said, Michael Mayer, the tight end, best receiving tight end in the nation, he's limping around right now. He's going to play, but you saw at the end of the Cincinnati game, again, he was just limping around. I think Virginia Tech is the more well-rounded team. The worst unit on the field on Saturday is going to be Notre Dame's offense. Virginia Tech's inside the top 40 SP plus in both offense and defense. Again, more well-rounded. And then the other thing I would say is, if you think back to the Friday night game to open the season in Blacksburg against UNC and the energy inside the stadium there and everything like that, and UNC's offense just melted down in that game, I think you're going to have a very similar atmosphere here. It's a 7:30 Eastern kickoff time local. And so I just think it's going to be an electric atmosphere, and I don't think Notre Dame has the offense to overcome it.
Yeah, I can't believe you still have some ones on the board. Irish minus one at Westgate, one at DraftKings, one at Caesars, but some books have flipped. Pinnacle, some of these offshore shops, they're at Va Tech minus one. So if you like Va Tech like Thor does, I think you might want to take the point, because this might be Va Tech minus one, 1.5 a kick. And if Va Tech wins by one and you wait, you're going to be in trouble here. I want to move to the Big Ten. This is one of my favorite games, and I don't know why I love it this much, but, man, I can't get over the disrespect Iowa keeps getting in the betting market. We look back at last week. How the fuck was Iowa minus three at Maryland? I laid it. I laid the three. You know, wise guys came in. They took four. They took 3.5 with Maryland. It was super sharp. And then your Sharpie ran out of ink in the first quarter. Iowa's at home with that defense that continues to stop the run and pressure the quarterback. It's at Kinnick, where offense goes to die for the opposition. This thing opened 2.5, got down to 1.5, Thor. I laid Iowa money line at -125. Even if it's 21-20 or 23-22, like, I'm not going to lose by a point or a half point. I went Iowa money line. Do you like it or hate it?
Yeah, I do like it. My numbers on that game, it's actually Penn State -3.3. But to your point, Iowa sort of defies any numerical system that is used to judge them, because Iowa doesn't play like other teams play. You know, you have the thing of, like, you can put things into the formula and more or less predict other teams, because, again, they sort of play in a homogenized way, or at least a way, a homogenized way that points to a method of winning. And so it's more predictive. Whereas with Iowa, mainly because of their total yards, I mean, you know, that's probably the easiest way to judge it. But Army and Navy, you know, service academy teams in the past couple of years are teams that fit into this as well, when they can dominate a team and, you know, win by 28, where it seems like, you know, for them, it's more like winning by 60 because there's no chance the team come back, but they don't have a lot of total yards. You know, like, for instance, the Iowa State game, Iowa finished that game with like 140 total yards or something, and Iowa State has 300 plus or whatever it was. And so, like, if you look at Bill Connelly's SP plus, he had Iowa in that game with like a 20% post-game win expectancy or something like that, which is ludicrous. If you watch that game, Iowa dominated, you know, basically from the, you know, middle of the second quarter, or you started the second quarter on, particularly in the second half, really poured it on, and they were never in danger. Iowa wasn't whatsoever. And then they were getting all these short fields there were some pick sixes in there. And then, you know, because of turnovers, they would get short fields. And so, again, it's something that defies the numerical, you know, all these different systems that come up, aggregate these numbers. Because they're not running up scores and they're not running up yardage totals. They're happy to just grind the clock when they have a big lead, and that's what they do. And then the systems say that, you know, their offense is like ranked 75th or ranked 80th or whatever. Well, let's judge them when they actually play a team that can be competitive enough with them so we can see a regular offense. It's absurd to judge them on the offense, on what we've seen so far, because the defense has been so dominant that a vast majority of Iowa's offensive snaps have come in instances where they're up by double digits and it's killing the clock. And again, there's been a lot of stuff on short fields. You don't call the same game as you do, you know, if you're down by 14 points, right? It's a totally different thing. And then, you know, and that's even before we talk about the fact that Iowa has, you know, a pro style system where they use fullbacks and they use tight ends, and they just don't play the same way as some of these other teams. So I would point towards that. And something else that I would look at is James Franklin is 0-9, I believe, in his career against top 10 teams.
He sucks.
He's been absolutely terrible. And Kirk Ferentz, in spots where he has been where Iowa's favored by four or less, it's just been a killer. Recently, I do get a little bit skittish, because in the past couple games between Iowa and Penn State, and I watch every Iowa game because I'm an Iowa grad, but the past two, Penn State has snuck it out on them in the end. That's more of my concern here, you know, if that can happen. But I think the player to look at here is Sean Clifford, because if Penn State cannot complete passes, at least in the intermediate sector, but it'd be nice if they could hit a couple deep, that Iowa defense is just going to wrap around you like an anaconda and cut off all of your oxygen. We'll see if Sean Clifford can do it. If he can't, they're dead in the water already, because Penn State won't be able to score.
You said one of your favorite bets this weekend involves East Carolina and UCF. Take it away.
Yeah, so, I mean, UCF has been really a struggle bus ever since Gabriel went out. And you guys remember when they were playing Louisville and UCF really should have won that game. And then there was the weird interception, flipped the whole thing, and then Gabriel gets injured on that play. Well, now Gabriel's out for the season. We remember UCF going back years and years. Every single year they have a good quarterback. Now it's this guy named Mikey Keene. He's not very good. You know, like it seems like he's more of a, you know, an FCS type guy, at least right now. Their offense has played, like I said, way, way down. And the defense isn't, you know, isn't as good as at least it was during, you know, the Frost era, the heyday of the Heupel era. Gus Malzahn, obviously, it's the first year of his thing. And now he has to navigate this thing where you have the quarterback injury. Earlier this week, Eric Gilliard, who was their leading returning tackler, he left because he was ticked off about playing time. He'd only gotten, I think, one start so far. And so he leaves. that one really hurts them. I think as well, people might've forgotten about them at the beginning of the season, cause they had a couple losses, Appalachian State and South Carolina, I think, but ever since then they've ripped off three straight wins. And what was particularly impressive to me about them was against Marshall and Tulane in two of these last three games, they put up almost 100 points combined against those two teams. Those aren't crappy, teams. Those are pretty solid G5 programs. It seems like ECU is finally starting to turn it around. We've been looking for Holton Allaire's, to sort of be their savior the last couple of years. It looks like that offense is finally starting to coalesce. And so I just think that they are a super duper live dog against this UCF team, where their spreads are still being propped up because of the last couple of years. It don't have anything to do with what we've seen on the field this year.
I'm trying to figure out where we're betting a helmet here. I could bait you and go, hey, Thor, I'll give you 14 with Illinois, but you won't take it. I know you won't. There's no way you'd take it.
Is what's the status of Mertz and Ferguson?
Ferguson's in. I saw Ferguson's going to play. Okay. I made a couple calls to Wisconsin here this week. Actually, today, this morning, I said, hey, is Mertz playing or not? And two guys at Wisconsin said, we hope he doesn't.
What?
Right? That's what I said. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I think there's something behind the scenes there where Mertz is sort of a crybaby and sort of a quitter. And I think if they go with the backup, they might be in a better position. That might sound unorthodox, but there's something weird with this Mertz situation.
Well, I mean, listen, Graham Mertz has been a bust, an unmitigated bust. I can tell you his TDINT ratio for his career is 11 to 11. I've been following Graham Mertz very closely because I started out my life as a Minnesota Gopher fan, and then I went to grad school at Iowa. And so I am uniquely bred to despise the Wisconsin Badgers, which means I paid much closer attention to them than most teams because of this. And Graham Mertz came in and he was like, you know, one of the more hyped recruits that Wisconsin had had maybe ever, right? Like, you know, super duper hype guy. And was like, oh, Wisconsin will be able to throw now. And he had those first couple good games before he got COVID last year. Ever since then, he's stunk. And now we have a large enough sample size where, we can feel comfortable not trusting Graham Mertz. However, this is the one thing that I have to say to those guys that you talked at Wisconsin. They ought to look up the stat page of Graham Mertz's backup. Graham Mertz, while he's an 11 to 11 career TDINT ratio, his backup, the Wolf Kid, I don't know what his first name is. We'll just call him the Wolf Man. We'll just call him the Wolf Man. I like that more than Chase. Well, the Wolf Man has thrown 20 career passes. Okay. He has thrown four interceptions in 20 passes. And Wisconsin, as you guys know out there, they're not exactly flinging the ball downfield. The backup stinks. That's why you haven't seen him, even though Graham Mertz is a bust. Well, one of my buddies had a great quote about Mertz a couple weekends ago when he was over watching the game. Or Morgan without the 2019 season. Oh. I thought about it for a second and I was like, that is so true. It's so cruel, but it's so true.
I still laid 10 with Wisconsin. I don't think that's a problem because I don't know how Illinois is going to score on Wisconsin. All right. So then it sounds like we're either down to, do you want anybody in Michigan State, Rutgers, or Maryland, Ohio State? You take your pick.
Oof. Those two ones are tough. I'd probably go Ohio State against Maryland.
Yeah, see, I want Ohio State too. Yeah. I'll give you Sparty. You can have Sparty minus 5.5.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't got a play on that one. Mm-hmm. I don't got a play on that one.
Let's see. How about Ole Miss in their game? Who's Ole Miss got? Arkansas?
Oh, Arkansas? Mm-hmm. Let's see. What's the line on that one?
Ole Miss 6. Now, fuck your computer. You want Arkansas or Mississippi?
I would take Arkansas. I don't even know what my line is.
Oh, you're on.
Oh, you want that one?
I'll lay 6 with the Rebs.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. So my line on that is Ole Miss minus 2.9, but I like the Hogs. I'll do that for sure. I'll take those 6, those juicy 6 points.
We got a helmet here. So if yes. Ole Miss covers, you send me a helmet. If Arkansas covers, which they won't, I'll send you a helmet. I love this. Like, we don't even have to bet this game now or pick it. We have enough skin right here.
Oh, yeah. We got some skin on this one.
I always love talking to you, Thor. Please follow our guy at ThorKU. You can read his stuff on NBC Sports Edge. Thor Nystrom, the man, the myth, the best beard in college football media. I'm going to be so stoked. I don't care about this game, but now it's the game for me. I can't wait.
It's the game of the weekend.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Thor Nystrom from NBC Sports for coming on the show. Record check 173, 163, and 5. We're up 2.1. And we've got 5 football, 1 hockey in the hopper. That's right. Shout out to Alex Smith. He said, yo, hop on the Blackhawks opening night plus 230. That number is going to come down. And it has. We're seeing some plus 200s on the Blackhawks. There's an injury in net for Colorado. Their guy's out for some time now, 3-4 weeks, I believe. And that number is going to shorten. So happy to get the first hockey play out there. Hawks plus 230 next Wednesday night. And you've got the five already. Iowa moneyline, Wisconsin minus 10, Niners plus 5.5, New England, Houston, NFL under 39.5, and the Ohio State Buckeyes minus the 21. Cash or tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you next week right here on Chicken Dinner.